Hey everybody, thanks for joining us on Code Chat. My name is Jeremy and I'm going to be chatting today with Sarah. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Doing good. We're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, Node. Node.js, one of the cool kids on the block.
It's pretty fantastic. And I mean, it's the first time that you can write JavaScript on the server side.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, it's been insane to see the growth.
Why is this so awesome to be able, that's what we all say, we can write JavaScript on the server side, but why is that such a cool thing?
Yeah, so there's actually, there are multiple reasons for that. So if you go to Node's website, so nodejs.org, right? So it talks about all this, it's a ton of buzzwords, right?
Yeah.
But the important parts are that it's event-driven and non-blocking, which means that when you make a request to the server, then everything is async by default.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to worry about if you bring in some package or some module, whether they've declared that to be asynchronous. It just works. And so now, you know, you make this request and you're you can get responses back. It's just a much more responsive experience there.
So now we say it's JavaScript on the server. I like to just say it's JavaScript outside of the browser, finally.
Oh,
right?
Because
I mean, it's not always a server. It's on my computer, and it's on IoT devices and robots.
So for a very, very broad definition of server.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
That's effectively what it is.
Yeah. It's just that it opens up this scenario where if you're making web applications, you're not confined to putting JavaScript on the client where they download your web app and they run the JavaScript there. Now you can have it as the server component of your web app as well, but that's just one scenario. So that's why I like to say that it's like JavaScript broken out of the browser.
It is, but all those are basically the little servers that are running everywhere. So
absolutely.
That's effectively. But yeah, I mean the we've seen it from everywhere from manufacturing to like IoT to desktop applications, right? Where we have VS Code now.
And
it started with Atom and then Electron Shell and then VS Code is building on top of that. Pretty mobile devices, right?
Yeah,
Cordova.
All over the place, yeah.
It's everywhere at this point. It's just spreading.
Now, before we get too far into this, Sarah, why don't you go ahead and formally introduce yourself, give everybody your name, how they can find you on Twitter maybe, and tell us what you do at Microsoft.
So I'm Sarah, in case you haven't caught on to the conversation just yet. And I'm Mousetraps on Twitter, on GitHub, pretty much. There's probably, I bet if you search Mousetraps Microsoft,
Number one?
Yeah, right here.
Number two. The first one's an ad. The first one's you answering a question online.
No. Something about some mousetraps example. So if you want to learn how mousetraps work, or if you want to find me, then that's what you can search
for. Are you prepared today to give a reason for the mousetraps handle?
Oh, it's.
Or is that for another? Another day.
It's for another day. Okay. But it goes back to I was super obsessed with mousetraps in high school, and I also was super obsessed with Microsoft. And my senior superlative was most likely to take over Microsoft with mousetraps. So the whole backstory behind. I'll just leave that there and leave everyone hanging.
Well, so far you're really close to accomplishing that goal. You're at the number two spot. Absolutely. Now, what's with Node at Microsoft? I mean, Microsoft is known for our web framework, which is huge and capable and runs enterprises all over the place. It's an awesome web framework. And now all of a sudden we're also including into this world of possibilities, the world of Node, and you're just seeing so many Microsoft people like myself talking about Node. What's with Microsoft and Node?
Well, first of all, it's a fantastic buzzword. So if you just want to sprinkle that everywhere, it's great. But seriously, we've actually been doing Node-related stuff since 2011. Not many people know that, but that's where we had some of the first support for Node and Azure and everything like that. And right now what's kind of exciting about Microsoft, and actually I did three internships at Microsoft, and now I've been here for 2 years. Mm. So it's neat. I've seen this like five-year cycle effectively, and every year we're getting closer and closer to just really I feel like we're there right now, rather than trying to promote our own technologies or anything like that, it's more of going where the devs are, right?
Yeah.
So everyone's excited about Node, So we want to be able to support that community, and we think we can, right? So one of the big challenges, and this kind of leads into some of the work that I'm doing right now, is if you go to NPM is Node's Package Manager. It doesn't stand for Node Package Manager. No one believes them when they say that, though. See, right now it stands for Needless Patchouli Manufacturer.
Right,
and
obviously.
And every time you refresh the page, it actually changes.
Neocon propaganda machine.
And they have, 210,000 packages and counting, right? We're seeing like this hockey stick growth. And what's tough about this is that these packages are anything from libraries to use on the browser and the server to IoT to various tools that you can use with Node. And so it's hard to really wrap your head around all of that that's going on. It's amazing because there's a ton of innovation, ton of collaboration with everyone. If you look at any one of these packages, right, it's not just someone built this one standalone isolated package. Mm-hmm. They depend on 20 other packages that have been contributed by the community. So people are building on top of what everyone else is creating, and it's absolutely incredible.
Let me just jump in there real quick and say that if you haven't seen Code Chat number 39, I interviewed a guy who did a visualizer for NPM, so you can see these 208,000 modules as if they're a star field, a constellation, and you can see their relationships to each other. It's pretty awesome. So go back in the archives and look up number 30. I believe it's number 39.
You remember the numbers?
Well, I'm here.
Wow. Okay.
And you know what? I wish I could see the histogram, the timeline of these 208,000 packages, because it was not very long ago I was talking about Node, and it was 130.
It's always horrible whenever I have to show a screenshot anything here. I feel horrible because I know that a couple weeks later it's just going to be a completely different ballgame.
You need like an active field in PowerPoint so that even if you're showing
exactly.
a slide, it's pulling in the real number.
And then that'll carry through to all the videos and everything like that. Let's go build that. That seemed but basically it's tough to really put all these things together and figure out, okay, which package should I be using? How do I get started?
Yeah.
Right? I need a build system. I need, I need some test framework. I need this, the web framework. I need so many different pieces to pull them I need a templating engine choice. So one of the things that we do with our tooling is we try and bring all these different pieces together for you into a more cohesive experience. So it's not limiting you. All of these are still available for you. All of the tools are still available for you. But we try and effectively pull them into the IDE or editor experience so that you're using them all in context, right? So if you're debugging, you don't have to switch from your editor to a separate debugger and completely have that context switch there. Because then what happens is, okay, so you set some breakpoints in your debugger, and then you want to go edit something in your editor, and you press enter a few times, and now that breakpoint is no longer there because those two aren't together. So basic things like that rather than having, 10 different windows up, you have just what you need up when you want it.
So let's tell folks at a macro level what the offerings are that Microsoft has for Node. We've got a couple of IDEs, right?
So we actually have two different major tooling offerings right now. The first is Visual Studio Code. Mm-hmm. And VS Code is our new it's our new lightweight offering. Yeah. I hesitate to call it an editor. I know that it says editor, but there's it's integrated enough that it's tough to do that.
Okay.
And we actually just came out with an extensibility model for that, so that's also
meaning
super awesome.
That people can write plugins for it to do whatever you want it to do.
Yep. And the cool, oh my gosh, so I've been playing around with the extensibility model, and it's amazing. Pretty much. It's pretty restrictive right now as far as a lot of the interactive pieces of it go.
Okay.
But you can create, if you have like some .NET code, you can actually plug those into the extension, though VS Code is a Node.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
So if you're building a language service and you have something that's a bit longer running and maybe you want to manage memory a little bit better, JavaScript isn't the best option for that, then you can, that you are able to light that up. in the experience.
Can you give folks, say, two or three examples of extensions? What an extension might be? Actually, let me give my favorite extension example. And that is the ability to just highlight text in a markdown file and turn it into ASCII art. The most useful, productive extension I know of.
Super useful. I tend to like the Go extension.
Okay.
So there's we have this whole marketplace here.
How many are there now?
It's not the best to browse through.
Oh, it's not.
It's pretty horrible, actually.
It's not showing
how many
there are,
from a browsing experience. You can't search them either, except through VS Code, right? So if I'm here, and actually I was writing an extension that lets you select some text and then create a snippet.
Okay.
Really quickly.
Oh, that's a great idea.
For any.
I will be your first user.
Excellent.
Sure.
So you can do ext, and so this is listing all the ones that I have actually installed.
Okay.
Right, and then I can say ext install, and right now it'll go off and it'll query and search
for all
of an extension. Right.
But you can add another word now that narrows it down by searching.
So I think the one that I just added was quick snippet.
Okay.
It's still like a little bit gets sketchy, but it'll get there. But it's actually a really fantastic extensibility model. Like it's a joy to use.
So the two really big announcements around
code. Two big announcements around code. Oh,
extensibility and the fact that it's open source. That's
everyone talked about the open source one, so I wanted to focus on the extensibility
piece
because that's
you focus on whatever you want. That's
exactly.
Awesome.
So VS Code is open source, cross platform. And so it also has a basic Node debugger as well, so it integrates with the V8 debugging APIs.
So now code is not dedicated to Node, right? It's capable of other things, like you see the Go language service and .NET.
And you can plug in your own debugger and create your own debugger, and they have a bunch of examples on how to do that as well.
But it almost feels like it was tailor-made for Node. Like it's really good at Node.
It's built on Node, right?
And it's built on Node.
So having it built on Node, which means that all the developers who are working on it are using Node, means that that's feeding into the design of it, right? So it has that same lightweight feel when you're working with the command line, all the extensions are right. So there's gulp and grunt support built in as well.
I think that it's not going to be long, and maybe it exists already, and I just haven't seen it. But I think it's not going to be long before there's a really good extension for the Azure CLI and for commanding Azure and all your Azure resources.
Absolutely.
Using code.
It's amazing to see the pace that everything is going at right now and all the excitement, right?
So we've got code, but we've also got another editor, right?
And we've also got another one. So the other one is actually within Visual Studio itself.
Okay.
And actually very few people realize this. Even VS users, they're like, oh, if only we had like
Node support
in Visual Studio. If only there was this thing that had profiling and debugging and all of these pieces. Well, there is. So we also have Node tools for Visual Studio.
Okay. NTVS, as
NTVS,
we like to call it.
Yes. It's near and dear to our hearts. It's also open source, and it's been open source from the very beginning.
Okay.
We actually built it off of we had Python tools before, and so a lot of that same code, all the project system stuff, was actually taken from them. I think 40% of our code base is shared right now.
Wow.
And we used to be part of the same team, even. So we basically NTVS is super mature. It has everything from really, really powerful. So VS Code, by the way, also has IntelliSense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's providing that IntelliSense based off of TSD files, which means that everything in the definitely typed repo, right? So if we go and we look at, I have a typings directory here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's pointing to some basically all the DTS files, those are being used to power IntelliSense. But the downside of that is that you're not getting IntelliSense for all of the packages there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in NTVS, we actually, because we have a little bit more power that we can use, VS Code is designed to be super lightweight, whereas NTVS is designed to be a little bit more comprehensive. We have IntelliSense without even requiring you to have any DTS files or
So Express, for instance, if you want IntelliSense into the Express module, how does NTVS get that for you?
So whenever you install a package, it'll actually go out and or it'll statically analyze all of the files within your within your code or within you know, Express's code. So for instance, if I were to write this function multiply, right? And I love giving this example because you know, everyone kind of you know, knows what it's hard to explain static analysis to people.
Yeah.
And this is kind of the best.
I don't understand what multiply is. Can you explain that?
We're gonna, I don't know if we can, I'm just gonna ignore that.
Okay.
So we're gonna pass in two numbers, one and two. That's a prerequisite for this, this conversation.
All right.
And so, actually before we do that, I'm gonna comment that out. So right now, if I were to hover over A, it says A is an unknown type, B is an unknown type. That's because JavaScript is a dynamically typed language. So, you know, how can we tell you what that is?
Yeah.
But the first time that you use it, right? So we have multiply, right? And it knows that one is a number, and it knows that two is a number. Then now we're flowing those types through into the analysis over here. So A and B are numbers, and we also flow the return types through. So if we hover over multiply, we know that multiply is a number.
Oh, wow.
And we'll do the same thing if, you know, we say, okay, I'm going to have pass in two strings, even though it doesn't make sense in this case.
Yeah.
Then right now, if I hover over A or B, then I know it's a number or a string.
One or the other, yeah.
And eventually it gets too crazy, and we're like, you know what? You're crazy right now. Like, JavaScript is crazy. We're going to give up because it doesn't make sense for us to list, like, plus, first of all, it's computationally intensive.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's tough to list all of that. So that's... those are some of the examples of things. We also have the same debugging that you have in Visual Studio, right? So you get tooltips and everything. So right now I'm just going to start the app and launch debugging. And you can press F5 and that'll launch with the debugger attached. Otherwise, you can launch with Control F5 and that'll launch a little bit more quickly. But you have the call stack window, you have the locals window, you have tooltips you can even, like, you know, drill down into those tooltips. So you have the same super, you know, experience that you've had in VS for quite a while. And then it also works. We also have remote debugging there as well, right? So it's local or remote debugging.
Which means that I can debug into Azure. I can debug onto an IoT device. I can debug to any computers
Linux,
that are in my enterprise.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter even. The remote debugging works regardless of what platform you're on.
Okay, now we've got tons of tooling here. I think we kind of had too high of aspirations when we decided we were going to be able to cover all topics
here. I
know.
We got four. Okay, so 4 minutes.
Yeah, so we have very little time, and I really want you to show people this best practices repo that you've created.
Yeah, okay. So if you want to learn more about NTVS or about VS Code, right, so we have all of those offerings there. We also, we just came out with 1.1 for NTVS.
Okay.
So that's a new release, and you can find more about it on our GitHub page. So aka.ms/explore-ntvs will take you to our page here, or you can go features, Node.js.
Now's maybe a good time for me to let everybody know, too, that on Channel 9, I've decided to start a series called Tidbits of Code and Node. Really short videos. I try to make them 3 minutes, and they always end up 8, but whatever. Where I just bring out one little, like, here's how to do keyboard shortcuts in code, or here's how to do something in Node. So you can tune into that. Just search for Tidbits.
Oh, man, and that works super well with...
You should come join me on Tidbits sometime. We'll
do
some more videos.
Sounds great.
There you go.
So this one was a little last minute. so we just put out this Node.js guidelines repo. And this is super exciting because... as I mentioned before, there's a bunch of different, you know, pieces together, and there are a bunch of actually different teams at Microsoft working. So beyond the tooling, we also have Azure, we also have TypeScript, we also have, you know, the IoT stuff that's going on, and it's hard to actually wrap your head around all of that.
Sure.
So if you want to see all of the stuff that we're also making contributions to Node, if you want to see all of the stuff that we're doing, github.com/Node.js guidelines. And we actually have two things here. First of all, we have a ton of tips and tricks and resources for actually getting started with Node. And this includes, if you're on a Windows machine, configuring your Windows environment, getting past issues like MaxPath, tips for handling various errors that you'll run into when you're using native modules and stuff like that. And so that's here, configuring Windows development, right? And we have different command line utilities and everything that you can use. And not just Windows, right? But, oh, okay, well, what are, you know, how do you get started with Node? What are some tips for building cross-platform? Mm-hmm. What are the differences between the platforms that you need to be aware of if you're going to do something like that? How about deployment? You know, how do you set up NodeMon, all of that stuff? And so it's actually, we've been getting a bunch of pull requests on this, and people have been, oh, you know, let's put in a, you know, link to some of the style guides that are out there, right? So Google has one, Airbnb has one. There's also some other standard one that exists. And so the cool thing about JavaScript is how much it is that there's no one prescriptive way to do anything. Right. And so that's why when we were putting out this repo, it was kind of like, okay, well, we don't want to give people a prescriptive way to do things because you can do just about anything. That's part of the power. But some place to get started and know what is available, that's even if it's not 100% comprehensive, at least it's a start of a conversation. At least we can start. Because that's one of the things we hear all the time that people have.
And this is something that folks don't just have to consume; they can come get involved. They can.
Oh, absolutely!
Add some
stuff we've been pulling in a bunch of different pull requests. it's amazing, right? We released this like a week ago, and we have like 1,000 stars on the repo. So
that's
far.
Wonderful. I'm gonna start as soon as I can.
Excellent. Yes, I have one more.
And you should too.
So yes, that's github.com, Microsoft, Node.js guidelines, and that'll actually have links to VS Code, it'll have links to NTVS, and a bunch of the other things that we have there. And we have these to-do items, so basically if you know, we want help filling in a section or something like that, if we know that we want to fill in something, then we'll put that over there as well.
So. All right. Well, hey, we failed miserably at covering absolutely everything.
It's all good.
Somehow, unsurprisingly, we ended up having some pretty cool conversation about Node. I think that's inevitable. So I hope you guys are using Node and having fun with it. I hope you're using Visual Studio Code, whichever one.
Or both. I use them both at the same time.
Switching right back and forth between them.
Makes it a little bit confusing
between
sometimes.
Between those and the command line. You know,
between
the,
I mean,
command line, too.
It's not even switching between the command line, but that's really part of the experience
of
anyways, right?
So absolutely.
That's a given.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, well, look for more tips on Code and Node from Sarah. You can just search for Sarah on Channel 9 and myself. I'm going to be doing tidbits of Code and Node for a while. This is where I live. So thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time on Code Chat.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.